Hello there. Welcome to SidePod Spa Chats. We're finding it difficult to sum up things and be understood, so we're quite overwhelmed. This is the evening of the Spa Grand Prix that we've just come back from. We sat down, had dinner, and we talked about the race, and these are some of our thoughts. I think it starts when we tried to get to the circuit. We left on the motorway, got completely lost, ended up driving on the old circuit, and spotted near La Source entrance to the circuit. We saw the E-Type Jag from Jake and Martin Brundle. I tore around the roundabout, pulled up the handbrake, doors open, we flew out, we left bags and passports and everything in the car to turn and chat to Martin, and then we got twig-picked by Jake. I'm going to hand you over to Lou now. She's going to tell you what happened when we went to the paddock walk.
Okay, so the main reason we were going to the track on the Thursday was to try and get round the pit walk because as we had weekend tickets, that was something we could do for free. Unfortunately, we only got the last 10 minutes because we were speaking to Jake. But one of the first things that we did notice was coming out with the Virgin pit lane, Crofty and Ant just about to take off on their little run up Eau Rouge. So Lukey and I had a little bit of a chat with them. They quite like the banners, which we got some photos with them, and pretty much a highlight of the day, really, speaking to them. Both of them remembered us from Goodwood, and we had a great time just having a little bit of a chat with them before they went off for their walk. We then headed down the pit lane quite quickly, but unfortunately some rather scary security guards stopped us from going all the way down. They had dogs and everything. It was rather freaky. I wouldn't get on the wrong side of them. But yeah, we headed down the pit lane and we had a little bit of a look at the pit lane practices and stuff. And Kathy and Emma have been there much longer, and they managed to get some great autographs and some great drivers. And then we headed up and were kind of kicked out of the circuit. But no, it was a really, really great day. And I kind of wish we got there a bit earlier because we could have seen some more drivers. But it was a really great start to the weekend. I'm not sure we could have started it better. So I'm going to hand you over to Pamela for her highlights of Friday.
So Thursday night, we arrived at the accommodation and we found that we were sharing two mobile homes quite close to each other. We put all the boys except Lukey in one and all the girls and Lukey in the other. We were pleasantly surprised by what we saw in the mobile homes. And we found some very noisy and drunk neighbours. And then Friday we headed to the track in the morning, and the rain pretty much started first thing in the morning and lasted all day. And we were soaked all day.
I don't think we were dry once.
So I'm just going to hand you over now to Lukey, who's going to add more about the rain.
As Pamela said, we had plenty of rain on Friday. I mean, seriously, we had plenty of rain on Friday. If you wanted a beef lasagna with rain added on, you could have got one on Friday. If you liked rain as your dessert after a meal on Friday, you've got it on Friday. The amount of rain we got on Friday, seriously, it was biblical. It rained with rain on top. To call it heavy rain would be an understatement. It took the mick. It was constantly for about 9 hours there was rain. There was none. Oh my goodness, I'm stressing out over the rain. But it was a lot of rain, and it was a good day at the track. There was lots of luckily there was still Formula One on, and the Jeep. Yeah, in between the rain and the rain, we got a shout out on 5 Live, which was awesome. So thank you, Crofty, even though you're not listening, although I hope you are. But so that was awesome. But then it rained again. The GP 2 or 3 got red flagged 4 times because it rained. Le Jabotoin, oh. But luckily, the Formula 1 was not le cancelled. What else happened Friday? We went to the supermarket.
We met Bob.
Okay. Bob, right, Bob. If there's one thing we love more than rain, it's Bob. So, oh, Bob. Bob, right.
Yeah, I think
Bassano. I can't do Bob any justice. I'll let Bassano do because he is Bob's best friend.
Bob is my BFF now. He's better than Jake.
No.
He's, for me, he's my BFF. So when we got to the campsite, we found out that the transportation was €18.50 to get to the campsite each way, each person.
Each day.
And that's an awful lot of money. So we went to see the reception and asked them about the transportation. And they said, oh, we have someone. And I went to see Bob. And he says, do you have reservations? And we said, no. He says, come see me in the morning, wink, wink. And we turned up in the morning. He piled us in the back of his van that had no brakes.
No seat belts, no seats,
just wooden benches all the way down the back. This was the stretch limo of the transit world.
It was the
death bus. And Bob charged us €5.50, which I think he just made up on the spot.
And we travelled Bob time.
We did travel Bob time, because you turn up at 8 o'clock and you leave at 9, even though he's been working since 6. We've just seen him sit down making coffee all morning. And on the way back, he nearly killed us, because he just breaks late for everything.
But he does answer to head pings.
Head pings work for Amy when you can't find her, when she's stalking Heikey, and for Burb. And Bob took us out to the spa town to go drinking and told us where all the haunts with the drivers were. Burb is just absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to hand you over to someone else, and they're going to talk about Saturday qualifying and maybe where we were sat and where people went and where we walked. So I'm going to get Chris to talk to you now.
Well, I will tell you about it. Unfortunately, I was asleep.
So, Saturday, we got in Bob's van and drove all the way down to the circuit. And we got there just in time to see all the drivers drive in with all their cars into the paddock. Got some good photos. Jensen and Jessica. Yeah. Lukey got away from Jessica. We saw Alonso arguing with the security guard. Rubens was there, gave us a wave. Quite a few drivers.
Vettel
gave us a very cheeky wave, cheeky smile. But yes, free practice three, we found a great spot in the trees, to the point where the radio was saying how wet it was on the Kangaroo TV, and we're laughing because it's completely dry, and then I look out and realise there is actually heavy rain and the trees are just covering everything up for us, which is quite nice. Come qualifying, we got to the grandstand, which was about halfway up Eau Rouge. Very, very good sights, lots to see, got a screen and everything. Apologies for any noise in the background. Very good spot, lots of good photo opportunities. It was brilliant. And I'll pass you over to someone else to talk about something else.
Yeah, hi, Gavin here. I did it a bit different to most of these guys. I had to travel on this trip on a bit more of a budget, so I went general admission, which also meant for the first 2 days I didn't have Kangaroo TV either. I was keen on doing general admission because I kind of like walking around the track, and the way I get a feel for it is I like to sort of walk around, meet the people, and find all the good spots, and there's all the hidden treasures you sort of see when you do walk around, which I kind of feel, just me personally speaking, if I had a grandstand seat, I'd feel like I was anchored to it. Although, I having seen where these guys sat, because I could stand behind it, it was a great viewpoint. But on Friday, me and Gil, who's actually pronounced Geisha, because his real name is Guillermo, we started at Eau Rouge, and then we went down the straight to Les Combes, which is the sort of fast chicane, for free practice. Got some great spots, and then walked sort of through the tunnel to Rivage, which is really, really high up. You don't see that on the thing with the track is you don't see a lot of this on TV because you don't get a feel for the elevation changes a little bit, but that one we'll talk more about it later. So Rivage is like a really high up spot, and then we sort of walked down the hill and up a bit to Pouhon, which is sort of the last great challenge of the circuit now. Eau Rouge is easy flat, so we watched a free practice and qualifying there. It was great to see the drivers drive through with the lines. All except Sakon Yamamoto had a great line through the corner. Yeah, Sakon Yamamoto was weaving through Pouhon, which looked really dangerous. But ultimately, for the race, Cathy found us a great spot in a grandstand that I've now nicknamed Concrete One. So while most of the guys were sitting in gold four, We were sitting in Concrete One, which is basically where we took pictures of the drivers. There was an electrician's hut in a up some steps, concrete steps, and a concrete balcony. So we stood up there and just watched the race from there. We could see all the way up to the top of Eau Rouge. It was brilliant. Because I did the trip on a budget, I didn't have a Kangaroo TV, because when I went to Le Mans last year, and I didn't see the need for it, because there were a lot of big screens that had English commentary, and I knew there'd be radio commentary, and I knew it wouldn't all be in English, but I didn't realise how much you would miss out. The commentary here was it was Flemish, French, and Bob Constanduros, which is Champagne Bob, but he doesn't really say much, and it's sort of like after the fact commentary. So what little I could understand, the French and the Flemish sort of did, I did understand. But when it came to qualifying, it wasn't enough information. Luckily, Bassano let me his Kangaroo on Sunday, and it was a completely different experience. We had it on the perch for Concrete One, and we had it all morning for the race, and it was brilliant. We had the world feed, which had five live. We had different camera angles. We could check up on what a driver was doing. We had different stats, and what we found that we did was, we would watch the action through our corner, and then we'd pretty much have our eyes on the TV, and we didn't miss a single thing. It was like watching it on telly. Because so much happened in this race, I do feel that, though, I'm going to have to watch it later to sort of like understand everything that happened. But I don't feel like, on Friday and Saturday, I feel like I was sort of missing out a little bit on what was happening, whereas Sunday I was totally clued in. And I'd say that in future, even if I was doing this again on a budget, I would definitely go for a Kangaroo. But I probably would go general admission again, although my feet are really sore because I've done like loads and loads and loads of walking. It was really good to check out all the different corners. I think I've pretty much seen action from every corner, and I'm satisfied that where I watched it, I watched the action in different places. I'm satisfied that I saw different angles of Formula One. I got different photos, saw the drivers do different things, and yeah, I had a great time. It's the first time I did a 3-day weekend, so it was very, very good to do it that way.
Hi, Pat here. Just to talk about Spa Town itself, it's really nice old architecture, and old. I drove around it several times, picking up people, collecting shopping, and things like that. Really nice to drive around. It's classic French style town.
Really beautiful.
Really nice. Yeah.
Lovely architecture.
Mm. It's surprisingly quiet, actually. You think if you go to somewhere like, I don't know, other Grand Prix, that it's completely rammed with people, but Spa seemed to be really quiet. It's quite relaxing, actually. After a long day hiking around the track, it's quite relaxing to just drop into Spa and either just wander around or have a beer or something.
And Bob gave us a tour.
Yeah, we had on Saturday night, we had Bib came to gave us a lift. It was us. It was about half our group, I suppose you'd say. Yeah, plus four of these wide boy South Londoners, all mouth.
Definitely no trousers.
Took us around the back roads and just showed us all the sights of the area, hotel where Heikki was staying, and various other drivers and teams. The water factory, for some reason. The bottle factory. Yeah, it's quite nice. Friendly guy.
Where did we end up?
We ended up in the pub. Very nice. It's a really good pub, actually. It's been,
mint beer,
beer with Coke, beer with all kinds of classic old hundreds of year old beers.
And we were all reading the comics in the pub.
We were having internet trouble all week, but we were trying to read the comments and post the menu. We left Bob and walked around the square. We found three Toro Rosso vehicles with the Red Bull on the side, the logo. We bumped into some of their mechanics outside of the hotel, had a good chat with them, and wished them luck for the next day. They popped up the road to try and find a taxi back, and found a couple of drivers in there, Kubica and Alonso, just unwinding for the day. So a few of us stuck around and just had a beer next door, and on the table next door, and Kubica disappeared after a while. Alonso got up, we wished him luck.
Which didn't work.
No, it didn't work. And as Gavin spoke to a couple of his mechanics as well.
I thought they were his fans or his friends, and then they said, no. I said, well, how do you know him? He said, oh, we work for him. We're Ferrari mechanics. And I was kind of a bit sort of blown over by that. But they were also really nice, and It was actually, turns out that we had with Mercedes, Ferrari and Renault in the episode.
Yeah, so come 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, Sunday morning, Gavin, myself and Bassano were truly Bassano'd.
Yeah, we went to the bar.
Oh.
We came back with all good intentions to go to bed.
Of course.
No one believes me. No one believes me.
What time was that?
That was about 1:30.
Yeah, 1:30, 2 o'clock.
And the bar said they closed at 1.
But then we came back and there was this, it's just this door up some stairs. We could hear music pumping down. Dreadful Europop.
So we went up.
It was calling us. So we went up. All the staff were there. It was only filled with staff from the camp.
It was like being at Butlins, yeah, with the doors closed.
Yeah,
and the staff just take their red coats off and party hard.
Yeah. They were really giving it some.
So we were very, very tired this morning. So hungover, which I do not recommend, kids. It's very, very bad.
And late.
And a little bit late. But the curried sausage for breakfast. That sorted us out. And a strong coffee. That's the way to start your day. That's a breakfast of champions.
And then sit in front of GP2 that week.
Yeah. Loud noise. GP2. And then the race started and we were just blown away. It was just such a fantastic race. And the weather. Oh, you've heard about the weather, but the weather.
Today was colder.
Yeah, today was a bit cold. But you know, our spirits were high, and it was just fantastic.
The funny part was when you hear the on the radar, it says rain expected in 30 minutes. That's a standard Belgian warning. because basically, it rains every 30 minutes here. It's incredible. I've lived in some wet places, but it's like a very cold tropical climate. Seriously, what the worst part was is that, okay, it would rain during the day and then maybe you'd have a bit of warmth or a tiny bit of sun and you'd dry off and you'd leave the track and it would absolutely monsoon it down. And it's happened again today. We did pretty well with brollies and so on. And then we're waiting for Burb. He picks us up from the media accreditation centre, which is just up the road because he's not supposed to go down to track. And as we were waiting, it just bucketed it down. So I've been perennially wet. I don't think I'm going to dry out for like 2 weeks at least.
So just going back to Sunday morning when Bob was driving us to the track, earlier in the week he'd been dropping us off a couple of kilometres from the track and we had to walk from there because of the traffic, and this morning we hit some detour patches and we got to sort of a checkpoint and all the traffic was turning right and Bob opened his window and, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, spoke to the policeman and we got waved through. And then all of a sudden, all the cars coming up behind us were Formula One drivers. And somehow Bob managed to get some detour road and we had Fernando Alonso drove around us and Martin Brundle, Sutil, Lee McKenzie.
So we really did find out this weekend that Fernando was faster than us.
I did tweet that, I think. Martin gave us a little toot on the horn because we were waving and carrying on, and Bob wouldn't stand for that. Yeah. He tooted back. So that was really exciting for me, not knowing who would drive up next, and there was just no average people on the road. I don't know what this road was or where he took us, but
it was Flash Car Road.
It was Flash Car Road.
The hills at Spa are very steep and they're covered in mud, and I'm very happy I didn't fall down them because lots of people did. And there's lots of people in white trousers and heels, and I don't really understand that.
Okay, hi, it's Emma here. The guys wanted me to try and let you know some of the fallacies of watching Formula One on TV, and especially centred around the Spa circuit. Probably the most important thing to let you know is that you just have no idea how steep Eau Rouge is. The cameras just do not do it justice. I mean, we were sat literally on the side of it, watching it on TV. And on TV, it looks like nothing, just like a slight uphill bit. But when you're sat on it, comparing the TV picture to what you're actually seeing, you find it hard to believe that the cars make it up there at all sometimes. Especially when they're being hauled on the back of a truck. But yeah, Eau Rouge is breathtaking. And in terms of the straight that leads down into it, on TV that looks as flat as a pancake. But as we walked up it on the track walk today, it's not flat. It's equally very steep and very long, and not something I'd like to run up. Sort of second to the fact that you don't really see how hilly the circuit is, the TV screens lie to you. I mean, they may tell you it's not raining and that the sun's out, and it really does look like the sun's out on the TV screens, but it's just not true. Because most of the time it was really overcast at Spa, even when it wasn't raining during the race. But just looking up at the TV screens, nice and sunny, calm day, not like that at all. And I think it would probably be a pretty hard thing to show on TV. And obviously they want the cars to look nicer as well, but you really miss out on how windy it is as well. It was bitterly cold today. I mean, I know we were sat on a hill, but bitterly, bitterly cold. And the gusts of wind that sort of announce the arrival of the next rainstorm just don't seem to affect the cars at all. And it's something the commentators don't really mention, but very windy, so those cars are pretty sound.
Gavin again, just a short note on addition to that. Spa is actually a very large circuit, and you don't get an appreciation for that until you realise that it can very easily rain at one point and be sunny at the other. And a couple of times in the race today, I noticed that drivers would come in and make a seemingly strange pit stop until you actually look up the sky, look at the direction of the wind, and you can see a different weather pattern, and it really does change very quickly. But something else we noticed, that a lot of us have been taking some quite good photographs this weekend, as you will no doubt see in the near future. But it does seem that certain cars are more easy to photograph than others. I personally found that I've only got a standard box camera, but I found that like the white cars like the Sauber and the lighter cars like the Mercedes, very hard to photograph because they were overexposed. And at the same time, other cars like the Virgin and I think the Lotus were quite hard to take pictures of because they were too dark. Renault took quite a good few pictures of that because the bright colours stick out. It is a bit too yellow, though. Formula One cars are generally very difficult to take photos of. But Lou can tell you a bit about that as well.
Right, okay. So obviously, this is my first race. I've never had the opportunity to take photographs of Formula One cars at speed before. And I'm not quite sure that throughout the weekend, I kind of noticed just how fast they were until about Q2, when people start trying to get into Q3, and you really see how fast those cars are, especially through Eau Rouge. And throughout the weekend, obviously trying to work out best camera settings and stuff, it was a real, real learning experience. Obviously, you see all the professionals with their little shuttle buses and their huge lenses, and you think, my God, you know, they really do actually have a difficult job because it is so difficult. I set myself an aim of getting a really clear photograph of Jensen, really in focus, and I'm not quite sure I managed it because it was really difficult. I got one of Lewis, but I'm not quite sure about Jensen yet. But it was pretty awesome. As a spectator, I was really pleased walking around some of the general mission areas on Friday and Saturday morning, just how great you could get and like how close you could get and just how the different angles could actually vary. There's a straight where you can get brilliant panning shots, and Pouin is also a brilliant spot too. And I think we all got a variety of different kind of images and angles. So look out for those. We'll be posting links pretty soon, I should imagine. I also wanted to make a quick mention about a couple of side podcast related people that we bumped into over the weekend, or we made a special effort to come find. Firstly, Alex Snell. I'm sure you've all heard of him. He's doing that crazy going to every single race thing, which is pretty cool. We met up for him. With him, and we had a drink with him and a chat, and he seems to be enjoying his time. We also found Alex Comerford, also known as at F1 Photos, and it was really great to hear his kind of side of the story and what it's like to be an F1 photographer. And he's been taking photos since 1992, so he's been there quite a while, and it's nice to see, you know, how things have changed and that there are less photographers than there used to be and things like that. And these are kind of the things that you don't get to see on Autosport because, you know, they're not driver related. We also bumped into another Lou, Lou_UK. You can also find her on Twitter. She's also a Jensen fan. So it was great to meet up with her. and say hi and compare Jensen notes, because that's always very important. And she's also a big GP2 fan, which is really good. And she gave me a few tips about that as well. And we also bumped into Rachel, who we met at the pre-spa drinks meetup. So it was really great fun to meet.
Hope your eye feels better, Rachel.
Yeah, hope you feel better. But yeah, it was really great to meet everyone. Sitting here at the moment in the kitchen lounge kind of area in the girls' mobile home thing, it's just been a great experience. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. And I'll pass you back to Pisano for some closing words.
Just two things, really. It's sorry that Guillermo's not here. He had to get a train back to Paris, so we had to drop him off at the train station earlier. And the other thing was, I'd just like to thank Side Podcast for this, because it's the community that got us all together and made it such a group effort. I know it was maybe a little bit annoying, you know, because we talked about it for a long time in advance, but it was so worth it. I'd recommend you go to a race if you haven't been to one before. Bring along some of the guys. You know, there's always going to be people that want to go. You won't regret it. And this is all because of Side Podcast. So we'll see you in the comments. We absolutely loved every single minute of Side Pod Spa. And I can't wait to do my next race. So we're all going to say goodbye now. Bye.